Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by
law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started. Where it really started. To answer one important question. How did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Thursday. Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk, will join us. Get ready for the Chiefs and the Chargers. Chargers not fully assembled. Keenan Allen, their great wide receiver. I think he's made five Pro Bowls. Does that sound right, Paulie?
Oh, my God.
Five
Keenan
in
Allen.
About 8 years?
Deep dive, Keenan Allen. Yeah, he made the past five Pro Bowls. Remember, he came in the league in 2013, right off the bat, he had 70 catches and 1,000 yards. He had a couple of injured seasons in 15 and 16. Then he's cleaned it up in five straight Pro Bowls, a couple of injured games. But, yeah, last year he had 106 catches, 1,200 yards, and six touchdowns.
Yeah, we'll talk to Chris Sims because it feels like Kansas City's offense is being presented as more dangerous because it's not as predictable. Tyreek Hill, it felt like, was a little more predictable. Not that you could stop it, but it feels like they have more weapons this year. So we'll talk to Chris Sims. He'll join us in about 15 minutes from now. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. Our stat of the day is always brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Sign up for the newsletter. It's really easy to do. Go to danpatrick.com and just put your address in the box that slides out. And we send it to you every single day, a wrap-up of what's going on in the program. If you live in the Seattle area, got a new T-shirt that specifically designed for you, Papagino's. And you can go there. And
Papagino's, you said.
Yes.
Always cooking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah. It may not be, you know, worthy to wear in a week, but right now, you know, he took down Russ and the Denver Broncos. Todd won't be getting one of those T-shirts.
I probably won't be.
Okay. I like how they were asking Russell Wilson now a couple of days after the fact, hey, Russ, you know, what did you think of the call by, you know, Nathaniel Hackett to go for the field goal? And now Russ is like, well, I was at the line of scrimmage ready to go. That's as close as you're going to get to Russ saying, no, I didn't agree with the call. Yeah, Paulie.
At this point, Russ would prefer to talk about the 4th-and-1 call about the Patriots than the what's going on this week.
Wow. Wow.
No offense.
Poll question for the final hour, Seton. Old poll, new poll.
Old poll, new poll. The first poll question we put up there was current TV providers, cable, satellite, or streaming service. Right now, 61% have a streaming service. Mm. And then I also threw up there just for gits and shiggles, who you got tonight, Chargers or Chiefs? Right now, 68% of the audience going Chiefs.
But what if I said you get 4 points? Maybe 4.5 points.
Okay.
I'd be curious about that.
Okay.
Dan Patrick Takes a Gamble podcast. We'll record that after the show. And that means Dylan, the graphics guy, who is up 16 units so far this year on college football in the NFL. Bad Larry was up 23 units last year on college football in the NFL. And this year we have Shay and Irving, who's joining us on the Gambling Podcast. A lot of reaction to me saying that if you're familiar with the drummer of the band Poison, Ricky Rocket, that's who Shay and Irving looks a lot like. Maybe a bigger, meaner version of Ricky Rocket, and maybe a better drummer. I don't know. I don't know if Shay and Irving has that capability. All right. We say good morning if you're watching on Peacock. That's our streaming partner. If you are on Chat Row, we say good morning to you as well. Play nice. 877-3DP-SHOW. Operator Tyler standing by. And email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Nick Saban is in mid-season form. I was surprised that he got this animated. It's a little early for Nick, but, you know, you had the close call with Texas. And Nick just doesn't want to hear from a reporter talking about quality opponents.
How hard is it to gauge offensive growth when the quality of opponent can vary, you know, with Utah State, Texas, and now ULM this week?
Well, but, you know, that's your opinion on quality of opponent, all right? It's not mine. All right? I respect all the people that we play, all right? So, and every player should not be focused on who they're playing against relative to their motivation, but every player should want to be the best player they can be. So why would it matter whether we're playing Texas or playing somebody else? You know, I've told you guys more than once, when I was in the NFL, I watched players. I didn't know who they were playing against. I was just evaluating them. So that means when we play a team that's not as good as somebody else, you don't play as good. So you let the opponent determine how you play. You let the score determine how you play.
I was just asking about the future.
It was a very timid question.
In my opinion, like I was supposed to.
Just find out UL Monroe's offense versus your...
Just play the question there, Marv, if you can.
How hard is it to gauge offensive growth when the quality of opponent can vary, you know, with Utah State, Texas, and now ULM this week?
Okay. So that one feels like it was a question that you're going to write down the night before, and when it's your turn to ask a question, you're going to say, how difficult is it to...
What's wrong with that question,
There's
though?
Nothing wrong with that. But it almost feels like Nick goes in and it's like... am I going to put up with this stuff today? Am I going to bang the... He loves to bang the podium. Did he bang the podium there? Where there was there one or two?
We reviewed the tape. It appeared to be 1.5 bangs, which means it's pretty light reaction.
He was going to find anybody this week to do a little rip the media thing because they almost lost to a team they should have destroyed, and he's pissed about it. So that's what... What do you mean? Louisiana Monroe is a good team. But dude, no, they're not. You're Alabama.
He has to send a message to his players. That's what this is. Don't take anybody lightly. No, they're not taking you lightly. You do not take them lightly. Yes, Marv.
How irritated must the audio guys be? Like, you know what? At University of Alabama, man, they didn't play well against Texas. It's going to be a long week at the podium, guys.
Yes, it is.
If they win this week again, 55-0.
Will he apologize to the reporter? No.
You know what? You're right. That team was garbage.
Yeah. No, he's not going to say that.
We should be playing actual real teams week in and week out, but we can only play who we got in front of us. Do that.
Yes, Todd.
He was looking for an opportunity to rant about that specific thing. And unfortunately for the reporter, you know, it was at his expense in front of his colleagues. There was no reason for that. He didn't say, like, you're playing a far inferior team this week. You know, how are you going to get your team motivated? Something like that could have set him off.
I've been in those press conferences where you get humiliated. You get humbled. Pat Riley did it to me. Bill Parcells did it to me. Don Shula did it to me. You just got to hold your ground. If you think it's a fair question, a question that needs to be asked, then you do it. But they try to intimidate. And if you let them, then they'll continue. Bill Parcells was famous for, he just wanted to make fun of somebody. Every press conference. And if you felt like you thought you knew the NFL, oh, he was going to let you know it. Oh, how many games have you coached? None. Oh, okay, so you want to tell me how? Oh, okay, all right. hey, everybody, he wants to tell you know, me how to coach. It wasn't funny, Todd.
I think in the moment it would not be funny. But as long as I'm not the one, if I'm not the one that asked the question.
No.
I could giggle in the background as long as I was the one that didn't ask the question.
But I heard you, and it hurt. Okay? Those things hurt.
You get embarrassed by these coaches.
NBA Finals. Spurs against the Knicks. Pat Riley. And I asked Dr. Jack Ramsey, one of the great basketball minds in the history of the sport. I said, we got a good question to ask Pat Riley. Dan, ask him this. Well, I asked him the question that Dr. Jack, it was very inside basketball. And Pat Riley looked at me in a group of reporters and didn't answer it. And I went, oh, wow. That one. So I walked over and Dr. Jack goes, how did it go, Dan? I go, it didn't go well, Jack. I said, he didn't answer the question. Oh. At that point, Jeff Van Gundy, an assistant for the Knicks, walks over. Dr. Jack and I are on the other side, Madison Square Garden, on the basketball floor. And Jeff Van Gundy goes, I hate to tell you this, but you guys are going to have to leave. Because Jack normally would get to stay and watch practice. Coaches would let him because he's a Hall of Fame coach. And I said to Jeff Van Gundy, I said, Jeff, just let Jack stay. He goes, no, coach wants both of you to leave. And so I got humbled there. Yeah, Paul.
Going back to the reporter who asked Nick Saban the question, first of all, the reporter sounds like he looks like McLovin, which I'm sure didn't help his case.
Mm.
But it's like a phrase that Nick Saban gets triggered by, quality of opponent. And no matter what your question about the offense, engaging the offense, once you go that direction, if you're a campus reporter or a school reporter, you got to know you're going to get that. If you play it again, you'll hear what I mean.
But I thought it was a fair question.
It is a fair question, but when you start using a phrase, quality of opponent with Nick Saban, that is going to get his ire up. And either you know that or you can't not know it.
I've got my ire up.
I'm not sure what that means.
But are we supposed to act like Alabama's football schedule is all equal quality opponents? That's, we're supposed to do that just so Nick Saban doesn't get upset?
Yes.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yes, Mark.
You know this question is coming if you play a directional or a dash.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Play it again. Play the question again.
How hard is it to gauge offensive growth when the quality of opponent can vary? You know, with Utah State, Texas, and now ULM this week.
Well,
is that Jonah from Ozark?
He would have had a shotgun with him if it's Jonah. If he stops, play it, and I'll tell you when to stop. And if he stops there, then maybe he gets an actual answer.
How hard is it to gauge offensive growth when the quality of opponent can vary?
Okay, stop there. So I know quality of opponent is going to trigger him, but if you just stop, don't mention any other schools, but if you say that, when you know the talent level is going to vary with who you're playing. That's a fair question to him. Yes, Eden.
Coach, you're opening up the season with an absolute buzzsaw of a schedule. You got Utah State, Texas, Louisiana Monroe, and Vanderbilt. Do you think this scheduling is fair? How can one team possibly face that many quality opponents back to back to back?
That would have been fantastic if you had.
I know. Oh, I guess you're mocking me.
Coach, do you think this is fair? Who's scheduling these games? Don't you guys want to win?
Yeah, this is quite a gauntlet you're walking through. This is murderer's row there, Coach. Okay, guess the point spread, Alabama against the University of Louisiana Monroe.
Yeah, UL Monroe Warhawks. They lost their opener 52-10 to Texas. They played a tough schedule over there.
And Alabama barely got by Texas, so.
And then they housed Nichols, which I think is a school.
Yeah.
And
Rachel Nichols.
Guess the line, Alabama versus UL Monroe.
52.5.
Say 45.
And, oh, man.
Todd.
41.5.
All right. Wow. Marv.
47.5.
Just to clarify, it's at Bama, in case you thought Bama was going to UL Monroe.
Oh, I'm sorry. They won't 95
go there.
No.
They won't go there.
Bama's given 49.5.
Oh.
Like the odds maker's like, I can't go 50. I can't make it 50.
It might be a 50 burger by Saturday. It might be fitting.
Yeah. I'm disrespectful to the quality of opponent.
I'm taking Louisiana Monroe.
Let's go.
Good for you.
To win outright.
Oh! Drug testing.
That's just crazy talk.
To cover. Is there a bigger line than 49?
No, but there's some close ones. Marvin's UConn squad is getting 47.5 for Michigan.
Oh. Jim Mora Jr. the third.
Come on down.
Yeah.
That's the biggest. Those are the two biggest lines.
Yeah, Marv.
Hey, UConn, we can pull it off.
Wait, wait.
We
is that cover. At Michigan or is that at UConn?
That's at Michigan.
Oh, it is. It. Okay.
I thought that was a rhetorical.
Yeah.
Michigan has played at UConn before.
Home and home?
Yeah. It's home. 10 years apart. Home and home.
Chris in Pittsburgh. It's Chrisburg. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Dan, thanks for taking my call. I agree. That was a very fair question. I would have loved it if he would have followed the question up, if Coach would have let him with saying, it's not my opinion on the quality of opponent. I'm looking at the check size you wrote to have them play you as the quality.
That's a fair point. Coach, you normally spend about $1.5 million when you face, you know, crappy teams. How much are you spending on Louisiana Monroe? We only spent $1.6 million. And we didn't spend one, you know, $1.8 million.
Shows how much we respect them as competitors. That's why we...
It'll be a while before we get Coach Saban on. Yes, Don?
And then he kind of hinted at Appalachian State and Marshall saying the specific names of the schools. That's why you never know what could happen.
Let's play Guess the Payout.
I love this game.
You know, hit me with some celery. Can we get some celery? Because it's kind of like that. The school's salary for Louisiana Monroe against Alabama.
Celery, celery, celery.
All right. How much is Louisiana Monroe getting, Paulie, from Alabama?
Who was it? What was the big upset? Notre Dame was giving 1.3 to Marshall.
App State got 1.5 against Texas A&M?
Just to put it in perspective.
Okay.
Guess the payout that UL Monroe will get for battling Alabama.
$1.4
million. $1.4.5 million.
Okay. UL Monroe came to Bryant-Denny Stadium in 2015, and they were paid 1.4.
Okay.
So in a return trip, they're going to get 1.925 million.
Wow.
I'd play them for 1.95, 1.9.
Stat of the day. Stat of the day. All right, let me take a break. Chris Sims will join us. How did the Chargers win tonight's game? He'll join us coming up right after this. Paulie is Mr. Knowledgeable Tire Rack. Because I mentioned the folks from Tire Rack are coming up for a meet Friday. And Paulie goes, you know, I'll take it from here. I go, what are you going to say to the TireRack.com people?
I love tires. I love shopping for tires. I love switching out tires for the season.
I know, but are you familiar with the Kumho Extra?
Oh, come on.
The all-season Krugen lineup?
Love
How
you.
About the off-road capable Kumho Road Venture light truck tire? Installation on your terms? Paulie goes, you know, there's a place that's about an hour from here. You can go get your tires there, TireRack.com.
Yeah, you don't have to pay shipping. You just pick them up right there.
Yeah, when the Tire Rack people come in, I got it.
Let me handle this, DP.
I said, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Advice, information, tools that make buying the right tire a snap. And they have a tire decision guide to help you. You answer a couple of questions, they'll tell you the best tires. TireRack.com/Dan. I mean, don't literally slash Dan. TireRack.com/Dan. See for yourself. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Just ask Paulie. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories. For 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. This program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. This family takes turns turning heads, brains, beauty, and athleticism. All they need now for you is to drive them off the lot. The Mercedes-Benz family of SUVs, a family of unrivaled vehicles waiting at your local dealer. A tweet from Aaron W. In a big meeting yesterday, my CEO made a play on words, a pun, a joke, and in an otherwise quiet room, I gave him an audible bloop, bloop. I like that.
Catching on.
Yes, it is. Bloop, bloop. And by the way, this is based off of Around the Horn. When Tony Reale gives the writers points, it'll be like, bloop, bloop. And then Todd was the first one to bring it up. I forget, somebody had some kind of good line. Todd goes, bloop. And I go, what's that? And he goes, that's Around the Horn. You got a point there. Bloop, bloop. Yes, Paulie.
Just a quick update on the UL Monroe, Alabama history.
Yeah.
They played 5 years ago. I'm sorry, 2015. Alabama was obviously a top 10 team. They were given UL Monroe 37.5.
Yeah.
Your Warhawks covered.
Hell yes.
34-0 was the final score.
And they're going to cover this time around.
Boom.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe not. Chris Sims, Texas Longhorn apologist, Pro Football Talk Live co-host. How excited were you your Longhorns were going to beat Alabama? How excited was it at home?
It was awesome. It really was. It was great watching it. It was special. The stadium looked amazing, right? I don't know, Dan, call me crazy or whatever, but I'm like not even upset. I'm not. That was a victory to me. I mean, hey, we're relevant again. We're actually might be good again. I think that was the encouraging thing. I mean, we kind of looked the part. You know, Steve Sarkisian, I am a believer in him. I know he's one of the better offensive minds in college football. It just stunk that Quinn Ewers got hurt. I wanted to see that because he does have some special attributes about how he throws the ball. I wish he'd cut his hair, but damn, he can throw that football. To me, it was a win. Even though it was a loss, it was a win, I think, overall for the program going forward.
Any doubts about Arch Manning coming in there? I know Quinn Ewers is there now, and he was the number one recruit in America, and he's going to lose his job. But any concerns that Arch comes in and he's not able to live up to what Texas fans expect?
Well, you know, I mean, I've lived that a little bit. I do. I mean, there's that anywhere you go when you have the last name Manning, right? There is. And then when you couple in the fact that, yeah, there's a guy like Quinn Ewers who, you know, we saw on social media in high school and even here just a little bit to go, whoa, this dude can throw the football, like legit, like has a big time arm. It's an NFL type arm for sure. So that would be my concern. You know, the other aspect of that is it's the Mannings, and they don't leave anything to chance. So there's a part of me that's also like, you know, Texas had to sign a contract. Like, he has to start by year two, or we get control of the school and the stadium and whatever. You know what I mean? That's the way the Mannings are. They're just very – they're like that. So that's where I do it. But you're going to have competition and pressure wherever you go when you have the Manning family. Hey, when I went to Texas, I was the number one player in the country. The next year, we brought in, like, Chance Mock, who I believe was the number one quarterback in the country too. And it's just like, oh crap, gosh, I'm gonna have to compete here. So you're gonna have to deal with that when you go to a major school like that.
The difference between the quarterbacks tonight and Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes, the one thing Herbert does better than Mahomes and the one thing that Mahomes does better than Herbert.
Great question. These for my money are the, you know, two of the three best quarterbacks in the game, and you add in Josh Allen to that. I think that's, you know, you've seen my rankings, and we've talked about it in the spring. I think those are the three best in the game. This is where I would say there's a difference. Herbert, in the pocket, I call him the machine. When the pocket's clean and he's sitting there, big soldier, and he looks like a machine because he's so big with the square shoulders, he hits the bullseye almost every throw. So he is, to me, better in that environment than Mahomes. And, you know, we're talking about great versus great here, so it's not like it's Mahomes is weak in this category. But I would give Herbert the credit of pocket clean, got to hit the bullseye, 15-yard in cut, 20-yard out route, boom, he's going to hit it every time. Mahomes, I think, has the, you know, the vice versa advantage of that when pocket's not clean, or I got to fade away or float or throw a sidearm ball on a 20-yard out route. That's, to me, he's maybe the most gifted guy we've ever seen do that. He's like an artist that way. So that would be the difference there. But we know that, you know, both of these guys can pretty much do whatever they want on the football field.
What's Josh Allen do better than those two quarterbacks?
Ooh, he's a little bit of a mixture of both, where I'd go,
he runs better.
He runs better for sure, right? I mean, he's a force of nature. Other than Lamar Jackson, I don't, you know, Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts, I don't know if there's another force better than Josh Allen as far as a runner.
But did we miss Josh Allen? He wasn't a big-time recruit in high school.
Right.
He wasn't, you know, a big-time player at Wyoming. I mean, he was a curiosity there.
Yeah.
When he lost his talent, he didn't really have a good final year there. But you still had teams that were kind of fawning all over him.
Yeah.
His first year, he didn't look good. What was your review of Josh Allen coming into the NFL?
Well, you know my review of him. We discussed this a little bit. I thought he was the number one quarterback in the draft.
I'm letting you take a victory.
No, I know. I wasn't trying to be a jerk. I know.
I'm John Stockton. You can be Karl Malone. I'm just giving you a bounce pass. Make the layup.
I'll hit that 12-footer all day long. All boom. Right there. Okay. Yeah. But, yes, I love Josh Allen coming out. You know, as we have discussed so many times in our history and being together, we look at wins and stats a little too much and lose the context of the situation a little bit. And that's, to me, what happened with Josh Allen a little. One, the talent jumped off the screen. You know, the ability to run and do all that. the ability to throw the ball really wherever he wants. There was all this talk about accuracy, and I kept going, I don't really see an accuracy problem. I see a guy that sometimes thinks he can fit the ball into every window in the history of the world, right? But there were so many plays where I'd go, oh, yeah, that was incomplete, but damn, he fit it in between those three guys and put it right where he wanted to. And there was, it bounced off the receiver's head, or, you know, there was just too much traffic in there and he just dropped the ball, let alone he was playing up in Wyoming where there was crazy weather conditions. Mm-hmm. And then I also got into the fact of, like, the completion percentage. I went, man, did they ever give the guy an easy throw or do anything? And I compared him to that year with Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, who threw like an average of like 7 or 8 screens a game. And I went, well, if he threw 7 or 8 screens a game, his completion percentage would have been up around 67-68%, and maybe that wouldn't have been a question, let alone to your point, Dan. The support system around him was crappy. It didn't present itself. And then I think they kind of gave him a green light a little bit to, like, hey, do whatever you want because we can't win unless you make magic happen. Yeah. And that kind of led into some bad habits as well. So that's what I saw. But yeah, like it came out again this week a little bit. I know that the Seattle Seahawks wanted to trade Russell Wilson to the Cleveland Browns because they wanted to take Josh Allen with the number one pick the year that the Cleveland Browns took Baker Mayfield. And then, you know, Josh Allen, extremely smart guy too. That's the one thing I think gets a little lost in translation because we see a great talent and we just go, oh, he's talented. But anybody you talk to, his testing before the draft was off the charts and all that stuff. And, of course, he's picking up offenses left and right here in the NFL. And he's almost a combination of Herbert and Mahomes in a way, Dan, to get back to that original question. Like, maybe not as good as the sidearm stuff as Mahomes, but just a little below. Maybe not as good as the machine like Herbert in the pocket, but just a little below. And then his ability to run, you know, power football and scramble. I mean, come on, have we ever seen a quarterback stiff arm a safety in the NFL and throw him on the ground and get a first down? I mean, that was insane stuff what we saw, you know, in the opener.
But I wonder if you go back in revisionist history, if you said Seattle was going to trade Russell Wilson to Cleveland,
yeah,
in his prime,
right,
for the Wyoming quarterback,
yeah,
they right. would have gotten roughed up. Now, we look back now, and it's revisionist history.
Right.
I mean, it's good that Josh Allen didn't go to Seattle. The way Pete Carroll wants to win, he wouldn't have been taking advantage of all the attributes that Josh Allen has. But looking back,
yes,
Seattle made the right move, I think, if they keeping Russ. Because Josh Allen was an unknown. You can look at all the talent.
Sure.
Like Jadeveon Clowney. Remember his pro day? I had people at the mothership frothing, slobbering all over. I've never seen something like this. And I went, okay. He had one great play in college, and that was the bowl game against Michigan.
Yeah,
Slow down. He doesn't have any lower body strength. I mean, you had guys who were played the game. Who are like Teddy Bruschi. They're like, I haven't seen anything like this before. We get caught up in this.
We do.
I mean, he's had a nice career, but it's just, I think we always want to be the first to say, you know, we got to beat everybody to the punch. I saw him before. It's like you have a favorite band. You know, I saw U2 when they played in front of 22 people. I saw Dave Matthews at a frat party, you know. So
yes,
I don't know what.
No, I know. I think your point is there. I get what your point is. I don't know either. You're right. The fact that he got to Buffalo and McDermott, this is where I think it is amazing. And I talked about this with Josh Allen in my long interview a little bit before the season on my podcast and stuff, because that's one of the, you know, we don't see defensive coaches a whole lot just go, hey, offensive quarterback, do whatever the hell you want, and we're just going to go with you.
Yeah.
And that was special, and you're right. I don't know if Pete Carroll would have ever done that. I do think that the Seattle Seahawks and Pete Carroll for a while were looking to replicate what they did originally with Russell Wilson. Get a quarterback on a rookie contract, right? And let's build the team around it because I'm not all about the quarterback in Seattle here, and let's try to do it that way. But it's hard to do that, to your point, when you go, whoa, Russell, he's damn good, and he's so clutch, and he helped us win a lot of games after the Legion of Boom fell off because he was so good. So I hear you there. I you know, that's a tough one, and I don't know if it would be the same Josh Allen if he was up there in Seattle.
He's Chris Sims. He works for Pro Football Talk Live, and it's the show before ours on Peacock. Explain the Chiefs' offense without Tyreek Hill and how it could be better than it was.
Yeah. I'm one that's kind of been, I think it's going to be better. I've been kind of saying that all offseason. We'll see. I mean, it's dicey. I mean, Tyreek Hill is special. I know that. There's no question. I think where I look at it is I don't think, you know, I think the offense by committee can be a blessing, really, for the Chiefs' offense and for Mahomes a little bit. There definitely was times last year where he tries to force it to Tyreek Hill too much or makes decisions just based off of that. I also think that with Tyreek Hill and the fact that they always felt like, hey, we got to get him and Kelce the football, that, you know, and I've talked to defensive coaches about this a little bit. You had a little feel for, oh, wait, Tyreek's in the slot. They're going to kind of run these plays. Oh, wait, Tyreek's the outside of three receivers. They're going to kind of go to these plays. And I think where they have an advantage right now is you don't know. You can't, other than Kelce, you can't really figure out who's being used for what and what's going on there. And they got a lot of guys that are very good at the receiver position. They got some tight ends, too, to go along with Kelce, where I think they're going to be able to play some two and three tight end sets this year and be annoying that way. So, and I also think, like the Bills, the Chiefs are a team on the mission. They are. They look the part to me. They look like they're pissed off about losing the AFC Championship game. You know, Andy Reid and Veach have done a very good job of kind of retooling that team on the fly there. But I think that's my kind of, you know, sum up of the Chiefs offense. It's a little hard to tell how they're going to attack you without Tyreek Hill now.
Boy, it feels like we moved on from the Rams quickly.
I know.
Right?
I know. Yes, it does.
Like
it
a
does.
National TV loss or win really amplifies the good or the bad. But what are your bigger concerns about the Rams this season?
My bigger concerns, and you know, I picked the Rams to go to the playoffs, but I picked them to go as like a sixth seed, right? And you know, again, it's hard to replicate going back-to-back Super Bowls like we talked about. But my biggest thing is, you know, that playing a tough division, they lost some real difference makers on their football team. You know, OBJ, Von Miller, Darius Williams. They lost some good role players too, and Troy Reader, right? Sebastian Joseph Day lost to Whitworth, retired. Austin Corbett got, you know, traded to the Carolina Panthers. So there's this new offensive line there. You know, I don't know if Jalen Ramsey's quite as good as he used to be. I love me some Jalen Ramsey, but I'm not sure he's like the best corner in football anymore. Or if he is, there's a lot of people competing with him there. So that's what scares me about the Rams a little bit. Stafford's elbow not being there, them not getting to practice. You know, so I look at that and just go, I don't think they're as dominant up front on either side of the ball. That's what scares me. I still think they're going to be a pain in the butt, and McVay's a hell of a coach, but I don't see like Super Bowl in the globe this year, or in the what do they call that, magic ball or whatever for the Rams.
The Seahawks Broncos ending. You had a rookie head coach, Nathaniel Hackett, who said, "Here's our strategy. We wanted to get to the 46-yard line." Which I don't know why with Russell Wilson you go, no, we got to get to the 46. I don't think that should be your philosophy. And I said, this is why you got Russ. If I have Drew Lock, I'll get to the 46 and we'll try to kick a field goal. I have Russell Wilson. Why the hell am I spending $250 million to go, Russ, thank you. Some nice parting gifts. Mr. Right. McManus, go out there and kick a field goal.
Yeah, agreed on that point, totally. And then to add to that, like, the line of demarcation was, if we get to this place, we can maybe win the game with like the second longest field goal in the history of football. That doesn't make sense. That process is flawed there. Yeah. Bill Belichick didn't go to, you know, 9 Super Bowls and all that going, well, if we just get to the place where I've seen my kicker make it one time before, we'll be good, right? The process is, we need to get to a place to where I think my kicker can be 4 for 5, right, from that. Maybe get to the 41 for a 57, 58-yard field goal. So that's where the first thing I just go, I don't buy it. And then the second thing is, I think a play was called. An offensive play was called. Russell Wilson was in the huddle too long, and he was giving a play. The left guard was looking back, waiting for Russell Wilson to lift his leg to call the snap. There was no drawing anybody offside. They weren't doing a snap count the whole game. They were lifting their leg. You couldn't hear anybody to draw any. So I think they're trying to CYA, you know, cover their own ass here a little bit, down the stretch a little. And I think the fact that the play got in late and things, and then, I think he changed his mind a little bit, and that's unfortunate. It was a rookie mistake because it takes away from the Broncos' offense looking about as good as it's looked since the Peyton Manning era, and the defense made great adjustments in the second half. The two fumbles at the goal line certainly were a big changing point in the game. But, yeah, that decision takes away from a lot of good stuff I think the Broncos did there in the football game.
And it's a great notice by you that Russ was ready to call a play.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No doubt about it. He was giving a signal and lining people up. That isn't I'm jumping off sides. And they were in the huddle for a significant amount of time. He wasn't just going, jump off, don't jump offside, hard count, don't jump offside, hard count, and saying that for 20 seconds. No, he was spitting out a play for everybody. So, you know, it was mishandled. There was problems with them getting the play in all game long. Hopefully they can fix that. I expect them to rebound in a big way against the Texans this week.
Oh, that's a real stretch by you.
I'm calling my shot, Dan.
Great to have you on, bud. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you, guys.
Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live with Mike Florio. That precedes our show on Peacock. We'll take a break. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow, right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hi, this is Jay Glazer, and you may know me from the world of football or fighting or even shows like HBO's Ballers. What you don't know is for my entire life, I have lived in something I refer to as the gray, depression, anxiety. So now I'm coming out with a new podcast, Unbreakable, a mental health podcast with Jay Glazer, where each week, while we talk about mental health, I hope to describe it, give it words. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win, but that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Anybody with me with the Chargers tonight? Who's with me with the Chargers? Okay, I'm on my own. Chargers, +4, coming up tonight. Mark Sanchez, former NFL USC quarterback, will join us on the program tomorrow. We locked in Tim Tebow, who's going to join us next Monday as well. Went to the doctor yesterday, got a checkup, got a colonoscopy coming up. By the way, don't wait until you're 50 years of age to get your colonoscopy. That's sort of what they say. Oh, wait till you're 50. Don't wait, okay? I would say if you're in your 40s, get it. But they also came up with something different. I don't know if you know this, Fritzy. And, Paula, you had a colonoscopy recently. Sure. They now have pills that you can take. You don't have to drink that drink.
I actually did not know that. I'm shocked that I don't know that.
I think it changed in January, and I said to the doctor, I said, do you know how many lives are going to be changed? Because I think most of us don't want to do a colonoscopy because you have to drink that drink.
Yeah. I think all that stuff is far worse than the actual procedure.
Yes, it's the worst part of it. Yeah, Paul.
Fritzy's right. Like, my first one was, I think, 3 years ago, and the buildup was way worse than the procedure.
Yeah.
And that would make it, I'm sure that turns people off.
Yeah, and I said, you're going to save so many lives. Because people are now going to be more willing to do it. And you have pills. So I got pills from the drugstore. And then when I get ready for the colonoscopy, they tell you to take them in a half-hour period.
Well, real men drink the old stuff. Oh, drink by choice, even with the pills.
It was so bad. Ugh. You try to sprinkle in a little Gatorade or something. But it was rough. That was the hardest part. And then you get down to the very end. You go, I don't want to drink any more of this stuff. Yeah, Paul.
I went to the dentist the other day for a teeth cleaning, and remember they used to have that kind of scraping thing?
Yeah.
And they'd scrape, and it was very kind of painful, and the noise was bad.
Yeah.
They have a new thing now. Here's another new invention. It's more like a power washer for a house. This thing felt like the lady was just going by and taking a little coating off.
Okay.
And it was not painful at all.
Yeah.
And it was very quick, but not invasive.
I also found out that I'm not 6'3 anymore. And I'm not 6'2 anymore. I'm 6'1.
Oh, Dan.
I know.
Don't tell anyone.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And the nurse goes, I got up on the scale and she's going to measure how tall I am. She goes, you're a tall one. I go, yes, I am. She goes, 6'1. I go, what? No, you do not put 6'1 down there. And she goes, well, that's what you are. I said, I'd like a second opinion. I want a second opinion.
You should change doctors.
Yeah. Yes, Seton.
You got to get one of those things where you hang upside down for a while. That'll stretch you out a bit.
I mean, it makes it even more amazing, the aerial display that I used to put on when I would dunk, that they'd go, man, he's only 6'1".
So when you want to be 6'1".
When you're dunking.
Oh.
So when you're 6'3", then it's okay. But if you're 6'1", and you're a white guy dunking, and it's like, hey, that guy's got some hops over there. Got some hops you only read about in a magazine there. Yeah, Marv.
Deceptive athleticism.
Yes, I did. I had deceptive athleticism.
They'll call you something. They'll call you probably like, okay, Rex Chapman. Okay.
No, Rex was not deceptively athletic.
No, just a white guy dunking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, who think you are? Yeah.
You got to go deep cut like Jeff Shepard. Remember the guard from Kentucky?
Number 15, I think. Jeff Shepard of Kentucky. He had some hops. Grayson Allen, huh? You think of Grayson Allen there?
So wrong.
I know.
You make a jumper, yo, somebody get Bird over here.
Yeah. Oh, hey, who's got Keith Van Horn over here, man?
Someone cover Gugliotta.
Yeah. I'd always get, you know, if you played on the playground, it would all be like, shooter. They'd always go, who's got the white guy? Shooter. And I'd be like, all right, I'll take that. Shooter. I mean, I'd like to think I could pass and maybe play a little. I'll take shooter.
More of a distributor.
excuse me, gentlemen. I'm a distributor.
More of a Scott Skiles type.
I'm a Ready Gotti Scotty Skiles. What the hell happened to me?
6'1"?
6'1"!
Dude, what?
I know.
What are you doing, bro?
Yes, Tom.
How much did you fall in the draft yesterday? That's right. You're like a fourth round or second round for sure.
The radio host draft?
Yeah, G-leaguer, dude. Dang.
I know. Gottlieb just went above me. Colin Cowherd probably just went above me. Damn. Yeah, Paul.
I wasn't going to bring this up. I saw an article this morning from GQ. There's these rich guys out in Vegas who've been getting procedures to be taller, and they increase their height by 3 inches, and it's a very painful surgery where you
I don't want that. No, I don't want that. I mean,
true story.
I'm 6'1", I guess, and I'll deal with it. What, Todd?
I tried that other thing to get bigger. That doesn't work at all. That is just garbage. What a lie.
This day in sports history.
Can't follow that. No. 1946, the Brooklyn Dodgers-Chicago Cubs game was called when players, umpires, and fans were attacked by gnats. Gnats.
Oh, is the Jabba Chamberlain before the Jabba Chamberlain.
Right. And then 1978, Muhammad Ali defeated Leon Spinks to win his third heavyweight boxing title.
That was in the Superdome in New Orleans, I think. Let's go around the room and what we learned on this award-nominated program. We, of course, don't win awards. Todd, what did you learn today?
One of my all-time favorites. Seton's wife, 8 months pregnant, once cooked you Thanksgiving dinner while you just sat there watching football with the dog.
Seton?
We got a lot of cord cutters out there.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, how about that?
Marv?
Michael Jackson stole from Hall & Oates.
Yes, I can't go for that. And Billie Jean, if you listen to them. Paulie, what'd you learn?
Dan, you still sound like you're 6'3".
Yeah, sound like I'm a lot bigger than that.
Yeah.
What did I learn, Todd?
It is quite the aggressive take to suggest the Chiefs not only missed the playoffs this year, but that they'll finish last in the AFC West.
As we strive to reach our financial goals, you can't afford to make mistakes or go it alone. Invest in your success. Invest with a Stifel Financial Advisor. Stifel, Nicholas & Company Incorporated, member SIPC, NYSE. For Fritzy, Seton, Marv, Paulie, yours truly. Talk to you tomorrow. Oh, there's one more item before we close out this Thursday show. We all have different ideas about success. We achieve it at different times. We do it in different ways. If you've been thinking about changing jobs, maybe retirement. So now you got to think about what's your own version of success and striving to reach your financial goals, retirement accounts, investment portfolios. I know you don't want to think about it, but you'll be happy that you did. And I've got somebody who can help you along the way. Stifel Financial Advisors. They've been helping clients like you for over 130 years. Retirement's a big deal. When it comes to investing for retirement, you can't make mistakes and you don't want to do it alone. So Stifel is going to help you understand the many options for claiming Social Security and implement an investment portfolio designed around your needs. You have access to Stifel's award-winning equity research and investment strategy views, so you will make informed decisions. Invest in your success. Find a Stifel Financial Advisor at Stifel.com. STIFEL.com. Stifel Nicholas & Company Incorporated. Member SIPC and NYSE.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God.
Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.